Welcome to Not a Great Whisperer podcast. This is your host, Katie Ray. I am joined with the fabulous Nick Atkins today, co-founder of Mission Lago Farms, CBD Me, and Natural Life Tampa Shop.
Tampa Bay.
Yep. Cool store on Kennedy and Franklin.
Kennedy and Himes right Himes. Now. First one. Yep.
Amazing. Welcome to the show. First podcast, not first radio interview, but first podcast.
First podcast.
I'm pretty hyped about it.
I'm excited. Appreciate the offer.
Do you want a glass of wine so you could relax a little bit at 10 a.m.? Perfect. We're going to talk about a lot of things today. Nick, of course, with your farm in Oregon and just kind of how you jumped out of corporate world. I've known you since college. I'm going to take full credit of inspiration of you saw my plants one time and you're like, bitch, I can make a farm.
If she can grow, I can grow.
That's fucked up. But I'd love to just talk about how you decided to take the leap out of corporate.
Sure.
Because I'm assuming after college, you had a good job.
Sure. After college, had a good job. I was doing events through college and ended up in the hotel space. I worked at one of the major hotel players for about 7 years. Worked my way up from there. Put on some of the biggest conventions and trade shows and corporate events and things like that. And that's what I did. I was a global sales manager for Hyatt Hotels and loved it. I had a blast. I moved around to some different states. I worked at some different size resorts. And
it sounds awesome. First of all, traveling that much.
It was fun. No, working in the hospitality industry is really fun. The perks are great. You get free rooms, discounted rooms all over the world. So obviously I love to travel. So that helps that feeds that a little easier. But at the end of the day, I got to fourth hotel and I just wasn't happy. I hated my boss. I couldn't stand going to work, which is really weird because I will say the first 6 years with the company, I absolutely loved. I had some great directors. I had some great bosses. I still talk to those people today. Like those are still, I consider those my mentors today.
But you probably become a great boss because of how from your bad bosses and your good bosses.
I hope so. Yeah. No,
I'll bring some of your employees on. I'm just kidding.
That'll be next month's session. I hope so. I guess I don't really keep in my head what my great bosses did that I loved, but I keep more in my head what the boss I hated did that I hated.
That you'll never do.
And so I make sure I'm not doing that kind of stuff. And actually, when I do slip up and do those kind of things, I think to myself, I don't want to be him. Don't do this.
Yeah.
So, it just came down to I got into a situation where I didn't want to be there anymore. And the opportunity came up. This is when Florida first was getting into medical marijuana. Mm-hmm. My best friend and his family put together a team and said they wanted me to join them. And we were going to apply for a medical marijuana license. And I said, I don't smoke, but sure, let's do it. I hate my boss. I hate my job.
This all sounds great.
The timing worked out. And so I did. I quit my job after 7 years. I went out on top. I mean, I won every top award there was for Hyatt Hotels. I won the Elite Performer Award like 4 years in a row, which is their top sales award. And I was one of the top 5% of salespeople in the entire company. And I walked in my GM's office one day and quit. And his jaw hit the table. And he was like, wait, what?
Wait, like now? Like, yeah. You mean like this isn't a joke?
Yeah, no. And so I took the leap of faith. I'll tell you, not everyone was on board. My parents.
What the hell are you doing?
Well, kind of a split decision. My mom, more open to it than my dad. My dad didn't talk to me for like a month at least.
I feel like that's generational loyalty when you're at somewhere, right?
It's generational loyalty. I just think it's that generation. So, I mean, my dad had just recently retired from his corporate job after, 30 years. And so that's just what that generation does, mm-hmm. right? You go to college, you go get this great corporate job and you sit in here and pay into your 401k for 30 years. And
making this other people money.
And you live cheaply. And mm-hmm. that's just not what my mindset is. That's not what a lot of people our age and our generation mm-hmm. is these days. And so
our age is 22, by the way.
22 and a half. we round down. So it was tough for him to comprehend that I was doing this, and he just couldn't understand for the life of him why I was doing this.
And you tried to explain like your game plan.
Oh, explain the game plan, explained, the dream, the vision.
And just where CBD was, or just where medical marijuana was. Medical marijuana.
Yeah. And so he still thought I was crazy. He knew I had a good job. Don't get me wrong. He probably loved the free hotel rooms too. So that might have been part of it. Who knows? But yeah, no, he couldn't see that. He couldn't comprehend that. And luckily for me, you know, after a couple of years, it worked out, obviously. And now it's pretty funny because my dad will come out and work on my farm for me in Oregon now.
I love that.
And he's been out there probably 4 or 5 times. Obviously, he's got the electrical engineering mind, so he can take care of a lot of little farm projects that my staff isn't too keen on. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he always says it. He's like, I would have never guessed that I would be working on my son's weed farm in Oregon, but here we are.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, no, it came full circle.
During those 2 years, though, what did you really question yourself sometimes? Were you guys at like a low sometimes in the business where you're like, how are we going to produce this much? How are we going to do this? Or have you had like a steady pace?
No, everybody sees all these amazing people getting into cannabis and hemp and seeing all these huge paper deals and people, quote unquote, making millions of dollars and tons of money and all this stuff. And the reality is people are not really doing that. And I think you've seen that just since April. I mean, the entire cannabis market has completely crashed. Every mm-hmm. pot stock is completely, I think it's like 35% is the average. Everything is down at least 35% in our industry.
That's
right,
huge.
Now, which is just insane. And so, there are so many hurdles that I can't even start to explain the hurdles. It's and our saying for our company is 2 steps up, 1 step back, because that's always what it is. And when when things are going good and you're having a good day, you're like, all right, what's about to get fucked up? Because
yeah, this feels good today.
It's just not going to last. You're like, okay, something's going to go wrong. And the crazy part, it always does. And
but you're ready.
No, so you have to be ready, and you have to, which was tough for me in the beginning. So in the beginning, you know, I'm a very OCD, like, you know, set plans, you know, make sure, you know, see it through, this and that, da da da. And so when all these things are going wrong and I have no control over it, I was just like, what is going on? Like, what did I do? Did I really just leave mm-hmm. a corporate world that was a great job, that everything went right mm-hmm. for this? I'm like, this is a disaster. And so no, it didn't go well the first 2 years, to be honest. So I quit my corporate job. I moved back to Tampa. We had applied for a license. Florida only issued 5 licenses in the beginning.
Yeah.
We thought we were teamed with the right lobbying firm and the right people and shaking hands and kissing babies with the right circle. And we weren't. They issued the first 5 licenses. And even though we were the 3rd highest scoring application in the state, we did not get the Central Florida license. They ended up awarding it to Knox Medical. And so right away it was like, okay, I just quit my job and we didn't get a license.
We can't do anything right now.
Okay, what now? And so at that point we had to, we ended up suing the state. We ended up suing the Department of Health. We were actually one of a few lawsuits that they had to deal with because everything was just completely done the wrong way and handled the wrong way and things like that. So long story short, you know, we ended up settling our lawsuit with the state by them giving us a license because they know mm-hmm. they were in the wrong, but that took 2 years. That took 2 years. The first 5 licenses literally had a 2-year head start on us when we finally got our license. So we didn't officially get our license until Amendment 2 passed, which was the expansion of the medical marijuana program, which was a solid 2 years afterwards. So
were you always up to speed on laws? Like, were you already educated on that to know exactly where you need to be, or did you learn so much along the way?
It's a learning curve.
Yeah.
It's a learning curve. And to be honest, the laws change so often and so frequently. What I've been discussing so far is on the medical marijuana side. So, you know, I'm in the hemp and cannabis space now, or hemp and CBD space now, rather than the THC mm-hmm. side. So the laws are changing all the time. You know, the farm bill just passed last year. Florida's trying to get their act together and get those things squared away this year as well. And it's happening. It's going in the right direction, but it's a learning curve. And you have to read every article, stay in touch with every single person mm-hmm. who has a say in it. You know, we're tied in politically, you know, very closely, because these are the types of things that we're lobbying for and making sure. The problem is a lot of these decisions and rules are being made by people who have no idea.
I know.
That, you know, they've never been on a farm. They've never.
Medical benefits, how many jobs nothing. It brings, anything.
Exactly.
And I think something people need to realize, like, it's like the Instagram reel or the Facebook reel. Yeah, you're going to be able to do really cool shit, but the amount of work you have in the back end, people don't. They're just like, oh, Nick's just, you know, just opened his own CBD with his friend. They're just living their lives. No, do you know how much work there is on the other end? Like, you have employees under you. You have to make sure this game plan works. Timing was probably huge on your part.
The timing was huge. we were one of the first people in the cannabis space, you know, and it was a shock for me in the beginning. I'll be honest, the first 2 years, I didn't even post anything on social media about it. I didn't write about it. You know, that's not what my friends know me as. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, you've known me forever.
No,
that's,
I don't know you as that at all. I was just like, shit, Nick's in the CBD industry.
Yeah. And so it was, you know, it was one of those things that like, I didn't, not that I wasn't proud of it, but like until we had a license, like I still wasn't shit, you know? Mm-hmm. And then once we got the license and I posted a couple of things, there was still like a, you know, single digit percentage of people who actually knew what that meant. Like, oh, okay, you got a license.
Right.
Like, what, you know, what does that even mean? But again, they don't know that fight. They didn't know what we went through. They mm-hmm. didn't know the value of that. And it still wasn't a huge deal of people. You know, a lot of my friends don't really smoke. A lot of my friends don't have, luckily, don't have conditions that medical marijuana yep. is a huge, you know, help for. And so it didn't really mean anything. And so once I started posting, they're like, what are you doing? Like, what mm-hmm. happened to Hyatt? What happened to your corporate mm-hmm. job? Why are you posting about
what
weed
are you
all
doing?
The time?
Aren't you just traveling to hotels and networking the shit out of yourself?
You know, what's going on? And I said, no. And
But you use CBD every day now.
I take CBD
every day. I'm a huge advocate of CBD. It's the only thing I've said, like, I don't – because we've talked about this, like studies on pregnancy, but like for me, it totally threw me off my balance because I was on CBD at least like 10-month period consistently, which is so important. But I could just feel the difference of just leveling out and balancing out like my everyday life, and especially like anxiety of a woman and mom. Just the extra.
Sure.
Like when you get out of a car and you wonder what that van is over there. But like those things, like I was just so leveled and I was like, shit, I'm pregnant. There's not a lot of studies, and you guys are smart about it. Like, there isn't enough studies, but you've partnered with – are you allowed to share
yeah, people? Yeah, no, it's official.
With USF?
Week, actually. Yep.
And now you're going to have people studying.
Yep. So, obviously, you and I both went to University of South Florida.
Go Bulls.
Go Bulls. And Florida started a pilot program for hemp and CBD a couple of years ago. The first two schools were FAMU and UF. UF was the only one growing up until recently. And so with the SB 2010 bill, which is the new hemp bill that we passed last year, we actually added a few more universities to that. So we added the University of South Florida to that. And we have a signed partnership with Mission Lago Farms and the College of Pharmacy over at USF, where we'll actually be growing the hemp and CBD genetics and different cannabinoid genetics. And they will be testing them and studying them on different trials with humans and rats.
So awesome.
So we're finally going to get some answers. Yeah, no, it's
– but it's just awesome to have that backing and just having all those lab – like, of course, you have your labs or your third party that you're using with Mission Lago. But it just – oh, right. Third party. Like, yeah, exactly. But you have it, like, firsthand in Tampa at USF. So I am totally excited about this new partnership, right, with USF?
It is a partnership, yep.
I love that. And was it fun to go back to your old alumni? Just be like, hey.
So that's the funny part about this is that our entire group that's involved, I'm the only one that went to USF.
Oh,
so for
so
me,
cool.
It's a little bit, you know, a little bit more of a driver for it.
Love that.
And, you know, when we had to go and get everything presented in front of the Board of Trustees and things like that, you know, I went to USF for several years. I've never sat in a Board of Trustees meeting.
Yes.
I've never met the president of the college. Like, I had never done any of these things. And so to do that.
We were doing hood rat shit in college.
We were doing things completely opposite of what I'm doing now. And, you know, to come back and actually have these people look at me as if I'm, you know,
that's
a big deal.
Awesome.
When in reality, they're the big deal. So that's fun. And I'm excited about it. We actually just signed all of our final contracts, and we were actually issued our hemp license from the state of Florida last week.
That's
for
so
both
awesome.
Us and
oh,
USF.
Congrats.
So it's official.
I remember
yeah,
you saying
so,
that you were waiting on that.
Yep. So we're building our facility right now. We should be done in the next couple months here, and we will be planting our first round of hemp crops here in Florida.
That's huge.
I'd say the April, May timeframe.
That is so awesome.
Yeah.
That's insane. Back home.
Back home.
But you're still, of course, you'll still have Mission Lago Farms in Oregon.
Still have Mission Lago Farms in Oregon. It's, you know, we've doubled in size every
yeah.
year since we've been there. We're going to be up over 100 acres this year. I bought a warehouse this year. We have the distribution facility out there.
How many employees are you at from that on Mission Lago?
Mission Lago out there, we're probably up near about 30 employees now. We just had our Christmas party 2 weeks ago, and I think there's about 65 people there. So that's, you know, it's cool to see the company grow, but I think I don't realize how big the company's growing until we do the Christmas party and I get that bill. And I'm like, wait a minute, every year this is getting insanely bigger. Like, what are we doing?
Wait, are we sure we want to grow this much?
That's kind of when it hits home of how much we're growing is because, mm-hmm. you know, the amount of staff that goes to a Christmas party. I know it sounds crazy.
And your first shop's in Tampa.
Yeah, so my first CBD shop is in South Tampa, right in the heart of South Tampa, which is Himes and Kennedy. I feel like we're very centrally located. Oh, we found a really good spot there. We're in a good plaza. Store's doing extremely well, so well that we're getting ready to open a second store in downtown Tampa. Just obviously the foot traffic downtown, the thousands and thousands of people that work downtown on a daily basis. We have all the people coming in from out of town for conventions and lightning games and trade shows and all sorts of stuff like that. So we saw an opportunity on a location down there, and we jumped on it. The current tenant will be out this week, actually, and we will start working over the holidays to get it open by January.
Oh, shit. So how do you feel about all the different hats you're wearing right now? Because, I mean, you're in the farm, you're doing back-end operations, you're doing administrative, you're doing face of the company, you're doing – he just started crying on the other end. Just kidding.
No, it's
but, like, that's a lot. So right now, because you're growing so fast, I feel like you and your partner, your best – right, you guys are best friends.
Yes.
Have to take on like all right now. We're okay. I love him right now, not tomorrow. But like, there's so many different hats because it's a business where you really have to trust people, right? To take on that role and delegate that full task to someone, right?
You do. Yeah. No, delegating.
Because one fuck up could fuck up the whole operation.
Correct. Yeah. No, delegating is very tough. Luckily, over the last 4 years, we've gone through, some bad employees, and we've obviously gained some really good employees. So we're building our team. I feel better about our team right now than I ever have. We have some really good, solid people underneath us, which is really making it easy there. We've found over the ventures that we've discussed here today that partners are very tough to deal with. You know, it's very tough to find a good, hardworking partner that's trustworthy, that
does just want you to do all the work.
That doesn't want me to do all the work, but is going to hold up his end of the bargain. I mean, I know that sounds super simple, but it's a lot harder to find than you think. So luckily me and Rhett, Rhett Simpson is my business partner, my best friend. You know, I consider him a brother. Me and him have been best friends way before this even started. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, personality wise, we've known each other. We know how each other act. We know how each other work. We know how each other, deals with everything like that. We've traveled a ton together. So business trips.
And you're loyal.
Like, and we're loyal. It's been fun, dude. We always say it, the stories that we could tell. We could have a TV show of just the shit that we go through.
Well, we'll bring Rhett and you together to just talk to yourself.
Yeah, no, we'll have to get Rhett in here at some point.
I think I love what you guys are doing. And what award were you up for against some really big – what was the award?
Yeah, so
– Hemp Game Changer?
MJ BizCon, which is the largest cannabis convention in the world, had over 35,000 people this year. It's in Vegas every single year. Mm-hmm. This year, and Rhett and I have been going to this convention – probably for 6 or 7 years now. We've been going to this convention since it was actually being held at a hotel rather than the convention center. Mm-hmm. And it's grown so big now that they have the majority of the
insane?
Convention center.
Is that a hotel? And then you're okay.
And so it's just amazing to see that thing grow, obviously. And so we've been going ever since then. This is the first year, I think this is year 8 or 9 for them. And they decided to do an awards ceremony, an awards gala, and start giving away awards.
That's cool.
And, of course, it's a THC convention, so their focus is cannabis and THC, mm-hmm. and that's fine. But they understand the growing hemp market. And so there was one award for the hemp space, which was the Hemp Game Changer Award. And somehow we managed to make the finalists. And so we were one of the top 5 finalists for that award. We did not win, but just to be put in that category,
it's huge.
On that list with those people. I mean, out of the 5 people that were the finalists, I mean, 2 of them are public companies. The one that won just finished like their 6th round of funding. They've raised over $100 million. They're doing and they're doing some really great things. I can't say anything bad about it. They actually do some really, really cool things. They do they're actually bringing like tissue cultures of hemp plants to the International Space Station to try and grow them in space. I mean, that's the level that they're on. I think half their staff has PhDs. They're on a completely different level than us. But just to be like put in an award category against them, Canopy Growth was one of them. Canopy.
Yeah.
I own Canopy stock. Mm-hmm. So to be nominated with a company that I actually own stock in is
that's awesome.
It was, yeah, no, it was. It's humbling. It's humbling. It's you know, like you said before, the hard work that gets put in, people don't really understand.
They just
that.
See the cool part at the end.
They see the cool part at the
end. Oh, they got an award and they rode in a jet to get there.
Yeah, you guys are in Vegas. Private plane. Yeah, you guys are having fun and partying. I'm like, no, I went to Vegas and slept.
Yeah.
You know, like,
this is my time away.
We lost the award and I went home the next morning. And, you know,
I waved at everyone and said, hey.
It's crazy. And then, you know, one of the other things I always tell people, you know, when I worked at Hyatt Hotels, you know, I worked 40, 50, 60 hours a week and it was just the worst. It was just dragging. Like I'm watching the clock all day. I'm doing this. I'm like, oh my God, when do I get out of here? Mm-hmm. I probably work three times the amount of hours now. And I'm not joking at all. I work three, four, who knows how many more hours I work now. And it doesn't even feel like
no, because you love it.
Like, I don't. I look at the clock. I'm like, oh fuck, it's already 5 o'clock.
And you're directly affecting people's lives. CBD is such a big thing. And for someone like myself who enjoyed marijuana and when I was younger, I can't do high THC. So CBD was amazing for me.
Yeah.
That little 0.3 is perfectly fine. I don't get that paranoia or anything like that. So I think you just directly affecting people's lives. And then of course, when you hear your employees talk about it to other like patients or customers or whatever you call them, I think it's just, it's a very personal experience. And even though Hyatt was probably amazing for your experience and just how you run a company, I just think CBD isn't just when people are like, oh yeah, I should get into that industry. It sounds profitable, but it's literally a people focused industry. If you take it like that and legit companies, and it has to suck when you see shit at gas stations being sold and you're like, what the hell is this? Yeah. Why are people vaping this right now?
Yeah, no, it's a little frustrating. I mean, obviously everyone's getting into the green rush, right?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be in cannabis. Everybody wants to be in CBD. Mm-hmm. There's so much money to be made, this and that. And don't get me wrong, we're doing extremely well. But, you know, we started this 5 years ago. We started this before people knew what CBD was. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many new people in there now that, you know, oh, I have $5,000. I'm going to go start my own CBD line. You're like, I'm going to make millions. And, you know, and you're right. They're selling them in gas stations for 99 cents as you're checking out because you bought a bag of chips and a Gatorade and there's a CBD gummy right there for 99 cents. And you say, oh, you know what? I hear CBD's great. And so, you know, there's people are buying this 99 cent gummy bear and they're like taking it, going home. Wait, nothing happened. CBD doesn't work.
And that's
kind of one of the biggest challenges in our industry is, you know, people who are getting exposed to CBD, which is great that they're open to trying it. But then, you know, what they're trying mm-hmm. is not a properly tested and properly strengthened product for, you know, what they may or may not be experiencing. And so that's the best part about the stores. And so that's, I didn't fully intend to go vertically integrated when I started this, but luck would have it, I am fully vertically integrated at this point in the CBD space. And so to see that store, like you said, the customers are coming in and we have an extremely talented and educated staff and that's kind of where we separate ourselves. And so to see people come in and literally sit there for 30 minutes and just ask questions and make sure they're getting the right product and make sure they're getting something that's going to help them and you know, to open up. I mean, it's tough for people to open up sometimes about what conditions they have or what disorders they're having or things like that. I know I'm a very personal person. Mm-hmm. I can't do that. I can't walk into a place and say, hey, like, you know,
Let me tell you about what's going on.
And surprisingly, a lot of these people do. And, you know, again, it's one of those things. My staff aren't doctors. They're not, you know, they don't have any type of medical, you know, experience and things like that. And people are still coming in and opening up with their medical history and issues and things like that. So it's good to see, you know, people doing that. And it's good. It's amazing. Our return customer rate is insane. So it's like once they come in the door, they get something, you know, and I'm not going to say we nail it every time. I'm not going to say, yes, you know, we gave them the correct.
No, but it's experience.
Come in and they try something else. Hey, you know what? I didn't love the tincture. Let me try an edible. You know, if I didn't love the edible, let me try inhaling it, you know? And so there's just different, you know, there's different things. And, it's really cool to see people come back on a normal basis and say, hey, like, this is the only way I get through my week. Like, I have to be here. I have to take this. Like, this is, it's cool. It's really a cool feeling. You know, that's kind of why we got into the space. You know, my best friend, his family is probably the closest thing that I've seen to, you know, our experimental and trials and things like that. His dad has Parkinson's.
Yes.
And, you know, I've known his dad as long as I've known him. And so I've seen his Parkinson's kind of develop over the last 10 to 15 years, you know, before they even knew it was Parkinson's. And so, and he's older and he's, you know, he's has a lot of medical problems, but, you know, once he started taking medical marijuana, once he started taking full spectrum CBD on a daily basis, like just his quality of life, it was amazing to see the difference in that. Yep. And so that was, you know, even that's a cool feeling.
It is a cool feeling.
Just to see that. And, you know, not that we started out to do this for him or anything like that, but it, you know, that's something that, that is close to home that I see on a daily basis. I mean, I see, that's, you know, amazing. I know the good days he has, I know the bad days he has, and because I spend enough time around him, you know, and it's cool. It's cool to affect those people's lives like that.
I love that. So when you opened the store, was one of your things kind of how many medical dispensaries went up at the same time? Like medical marijuana dispensaries and competing against them, or is that not really affected by CBD?
Yeah, a lot of people ask that question. We actually, we had Fox 13 News come in and ask us that. That's
really?
Yeah, oh. It's, they,
I didn't see that interview, but I took their question. Yeah. It should be a reporter.
No, they did a whole thing about how our business is booming because of medical marijuana. And I...
Oh, no, I was saying, did you do it so you weren't really close to any other dispensaries, or did you do it so you were close to others? Like, was that any part of your decision?
Oh, in terms of location?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that actually didn't have anything to do with it. The benefit of ours is we don't have to have all the specific requirements and things like that.
State fees.
So no, I wouldn't say that. I would say, you know, we wanted to be on Kennedy.
Okay.
We wanted to be the busiest road in South Tampa. You know, I have tons of friends here. There's where we are in South Tampa. I mean, 10 minutes.
I know.
There's so many people that live there. And so for us, it was more of just a location. It was how many people are driving by. It was, you know, obviously we want a nice storefront that's respectable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's, unfortunately on Kennedy, there's, you know, probably 10 different places that sell vape juice or CBD or Kratom or Kava or anything like that. And we wanted to differentiate ourselves from those people because, you know, how does Joe Blow that's driving down the street know the difference between this guy who is selling Kratom with, you know, big green neon lights on the window and
stickers, and a lizard
and lizard stickers and things like that versus ours. I mean, until you walk in, you don't know the difference. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's why I know people are going to probably crucify me for this, but we leave all of our lights on at night. So the store. So I want people driving by at night to be able to see in the store and see the difference. And it's a very clean.
People are going to look.
Elegantly presented. Mm-hmm. You know, we have tons of products. We have the largest CBD selection in all of Tampa. You know, all of our products are tested. All of, you know, I know every single brand that's in there. If I don't know them personally, I know of them or I know what their products are made of, where their products are made of. You know, you walk into a lot of these gas stations or, you know, vape shops or anything like that. It's like, oh, you know, show me what CBD you have. You know, what brands do you have? Yeah. Oh, this one right here. This is what we have. Oh, you know, where's it grown? Oh, we sourced it from somewhere in Colorado, I think. You know, it's on the back, or if you go on the website, you can probably see it. Like, that's not the answer that people want to hear. You know,
we want to know what you're getting.
People are, you know, thinking about putting this into their body. They want to know what it is, where it's from, how is it processed, how, you know, what lab was it made in, like, you know, what's it going to do to me? They want to know all these questions. And so when you're asking a gas station attendant, you know, about their CBD products
or the smoke shop down the street,
you know, and the guy's already high, so he's not going to give you a
straight
answer.
All of them.
Yeah, they're not going to give you a straight answer either way. And if you can avoid the cat walking by you in the store, you know, you should be able to ask whatever questions you want.
Yeah, but you could.
Yeah, no, it's a completely different element, different focus. You know, it's we're trying to set ourselves apart on that stage, and I think
that quality.
I think that we're doing that. Yeah.
So, how much fun is it to like carry bud around and not get arrested? As someone who's arrested for carrying butt around.
Yeah. No,
I'd like to hear that experience.
It's a different feeling. Well, and so I think it's going to go a step further. So it's not just like carrying it around, because I don't typically carry it around.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like a jar of it.
I do drive a lot of it across the country. You know, when I first got started, you know, I didn't trust any of my employees to drive tons and tons of flour to different, you know, customers around the country. So, you know, me and my business partner were literally driving truckloads of hemp
all across
the country.
Awesome.
And don't get me wrong, we do it completely legally. We have all the licensing, we have all the testing, we have all the paperwork.
You're
and
not
documents.
Drug trafficking,
but at the end
you're
of
literally
the day,
just driving it.
We're still driving a truckload of cannabis around the country.
I know.
And so had we ever have gotten pulled over,
a lot of questions.
It's a tough sell. You know, even to this day, you see, you know, there's still semi trucks getting pulled over that do have this stuff. And unfortunately for police officers, there's no way to tell the difference. I mean, it looks the same, smells the same, feels the same. The only way is to test it. And I mean, any police testing lab right now is at least 30 days out. So what are they going to do? They're going to take it, they're going to hold it and pray in 30 days they
it's
get
your product
test back and that you get it back. So luckily we haven't had any major issues on that.
Knock on, there's no wood in here.
We haven't had any major issues on the trucking logistics side. When it comes to sending stuff through the mail, we've had a ton over 3 years. So I mean, there's, I could tell you, we could do a whole podcast just on stories of us sending stuff through the mail. So
getting it sent back.
We've gotten it sent back. We've had boxes delivered empty because the mailman stole it out of the thing. We've had packages stolen. I can literally tell you stories for days about.
I'm not laughing because it's messed up. It's your product and you worked hard for it. But
it's tough.
What would you do if I saw a whole box of bud on my route? What would I do?
I can tell you what they do. Yeah. So no, I've had customers call me and scream at me and say, "Oh my God, you shipped me an empty box. What are you doing?
This place is
a scam." And I'm like, look at the tag. It left as 15 pounds. It's now a 1 pound box. Clearly there was some product in there, but we waited to ship it out. I go, clearly it wasn't me.
Someone smelled something.
So yeah. So we've had that situation happen. I've actually had, and I don't know how this is even possible, but we actually had somebody open our box, open another box. And I truly to this day think it was the UPS and USPS inspectors. And they actually put someone else's product in our box and shipped it to these people. Well, the product that they put in our box was THC lollipops. So one of my clients received our flower and THC lollipops, and they call me flipping out because, of course, you know, that puts them at a huge liability. And I said, I completely understand. I go, but we don't have THC lollipops. I go, there's literally no way that that came from us.
Oh my God.
And so,
and can you send them to us? No, I'm just kidding. Can you send them back?
You want to send them back? No, but legitimately somehow they open the boxes and they do, they open a lot of in boxes and inspect them and things like that. And somehow they put the wrong stuff back in the box, and how they didn't inspect the THC lollipops and actually put them back to get sent, I have no idea. They were supposed to stop them because that is fully
like a
illegal.
Bag full of THC lollipops.
They delivered THC lollipops to one of my customers one time, and it was just like, I didn't even have an excuse for them. I'm like, I literally can't explain to you how that can happen.
Don't make these.
And of course, luckily he was, you know, a pretty long-term customer. So he knew us, he trusted us. He's ordered from us before. Mm-hmm. We've never had any issues. So he was like, dude, he's like, what the hell's going on? I'm like, I literally don't know. And
how are you supposed to call back? Cause then it puts him liable, right?
Well, no. So we have a pretty close relationship with our shipping company or a shipper at the time. We use a different one now. But the person that we use at the time is a shop that actually uses all the different domestic shippers. And so I went to him and I'm like, dude, I'm like, how in the hell could this possibly happen? And of course, it wasn't him. It wasn't this. It wasn't that. So we never actually got to the bottom of it. But you know, the stories that I could tell you are just insane. So luckily, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'll say anyways. So the UPS, United Postal Service, right? Largest shipper in the world right now. So they actually just started a beta program about a month and a half ago to allow hemp flower shipments through the mail with their knowledge. So before it was always, no, they won't do it. No, they'll hold it. They'll send it back, whatever it is. So we were actually asked to participate in their beta program. So we're one of 16 farms. And the beta program is only in Southern Oregon. So there's only 16 farms in Southern Oregon because they know that that's like kind of the hemp, you know, the CBD flower capital of the country. And so we had to go through this whole, you know, background check. You know, they looked at all of our tests. They looked at our facility. They came in and inspected everything, like all this type of stuff. Well, we are legally and allowed to ship hemp flower anywhere in the country now with UPS. There's documentation. There's our normal documentation there, but they actually have their own documentation that
certified
they have to put
letter.
In there as well. So if it gets to, let's say, New York, and the UPS person in New York says, oh my God, they decide to open it and they see that it's THC flower, or not THC flower, but they see that it's cannabis flower. They think it's THC. They open it up. They have to look at the document. There's a number on there for them to call that says, this is approved. This is tested. This is fine. Tape it back up and ship it and deliver it. And so luckily, we've been able to use that this year, and
that's
it's been a complete
awesome.
Game changer.
I was just going to say the chain. I mean,
the stress levels.
Well, it's just because, like, who's going to be the hero today? Who's opening this package and thinking they found, like, weed? Okay. Yeah. Like, it's just like, fuck.
And I can tell you, I don't know if you remember. So last year, October timeframe, which obviously is one of our busiest times, that's harvest. That's when all of our orders are going out. That's when everybody's ready, you know, to restock up for the year. Well, last year during October is when they had all those mail bombs from that guy in Austin, Texas, or somewhere in Texas, whatever. They were stopping every single, I literally lost probably $30,000 in product that.
Because they were stopping every shipment.
They stopped everything. They stopped everything. And it was USPS, FedEx, UPS. I mean, everything was getting stopped. And, you know, sometimes, don't get me wrong, we've got it returned. But that time frame, they weren't messing around. Anything it was, they stopped it, destroyed it, gone. So, I mean, we lost a good solid $20,000, $30,000 worth of product. Just I'd say in a 10-day period. Oh. I mean, it was insane. And so I literally just said, you know what, we're not shipping anything else right now. And mm-hmm. told my customers, hey, we're putting it on pause when they figure this out or when we think we can do this again.
Oh, yeah, because the back and forth, it's bullshit.
Well, because I have to eat that loss. I mean, mm-hmm. that's not the customer. The customer paid me, right? And even though we don't guarantee shipping, you know, when the tracking says that it never left Medford, Oregon, because it didn't go any further than the building that we delivered it to, you know, I don't have an argument there. Uh-huh. You know, now if it goes all the way to the Fort Lauderdale FedEx department and magically disappears in FedEx, you know, outside their building, that's, you know, mm-hmm. we don't truly consider that on us, but that was a huge issue. We had the same thing for other countries. I mean, we ship into Europe. CBD flour in Europe is a huge thing.
Really?
Yeah. So they're I think a little bit more well educated on CBD over there. And so when they find farms over here that they know and love, which luckily we're one of those, they buy a ton. And so we ship a lot of stuff over into Europe. And the tricky part is because there's so many different countries, there's so many different rules. So every country has a different rule and has a different THC requirement and has different testing requirements and has different paperwork requirements. And they actually change like every month. And so, you know, some of them are at 0.2, some of them are 0.3, some of them are 0.5, some of them are 1.0 mm-hmm. In terms of THC levels. And so that is you know, hard to keep up with when I'm trying to just fill orders and, okay, well, which one is it this month and this and that. And so there was a time, actually it was last year, there was a time we have a customer in Italy that we sent like 30 pounds to Italy. And so obviously it has to get through customs and they have to go through all that. And then from there, it needs to go in, you know, to the customer. And a lot of times in those countries also, they have to pay an import tax. So they actually have to come pick it up, pay a tax based on what it is, because that's how these countries are lined
up.
Yeah,
of course.
Well, we sent something to one of our customers in Italy. And when we sent it, they were accepting hemp and they were open to it. And the government was okay and it was cool. And it was like the third package we sent. Well, I guess by the time it got there, they had changed that rule. And so they had stopped that package. And of course, my customer's calling me like, hey, you know, like, what's up? I didn't get
it's
this.
Right here.
I go here. I go, it's proof that it's at customs right now. And so he was at customs trying to get it figured out, this and that. Long story short, he did not get it because that month he wasn't allowed to. We sent it in February. In September.
You finally got it?
They sent it back to us. We actually got the they shipped it all the way back to the
thank
US.
Thank you.
Back to our farm. So one day in September, my shipping director goes to our shipping thing. He goes, yeah, we got this package back for you guys. And it happens once in a while. So we're like, okay. So he picks it up, doesn't think anything about it, takes it back to the farm. And then he opens it up and he starts taking out what's in it. And he's like, wait a minute. He's like, we don't even grow these strains. These are our strains from last year. And he's like, what the? And he looks at it and
months.
He goes, this is an order that I shipped to Italy 7 months ago.
Shit.
That they took that long to say, nope, we're not going to do it. And they shipped it all the way back from Italy, from the customs department, which
That's
was
insane.
Just, yeah, which was just insane. I had, that was a good story. What other stories? I have one where I actually had one of the customs people in one of the European countries call me, or I'm sorry, he didn't call me. I think he emailed me and he's like, you know, this and that, we stopped your hemp. This doesn't have the right importation paperwork. You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. And then we can consider, you know, letting in the country. And I said, sure. I said, send me over the paperwork and I'm happy to fill it out. So he goes, well, we don't have the paperwork. And I said, well,
what am I supposed to fill out?
And he goes, well, you need to contact the customs agent, the importation customs agent for Italy, which is located in Miami, Florida. Here's his number and email. So I said, okay, great. So I called the guy, didn't answer. And so I emailed him. And so I basically forwarded him the first guy's email. I said, hey, you know, we're trying to do this. He said that you have the documentation to send it, and this and that. And so I waited for him to call me back. And so he called me back and he goes, well, we don't have that paperwork. And I said, okay. I said, well, where do I get it? He goes, I don't think it exists. I go, so you're requiring me to send this with paperwork that you don't know where it's mm-hmm. located. Well, yeah, I mean, we can start creating stuff like that, but at this time we don't have any paperwork for that. So it's like, it's one of those things that literally this industry is so like
and it always changes.
Evolving that
yeah.
like people are
have
saying
no
that
idea
something's required and that document's not even created yet.
Well, because people don't know what to do because it's just blowing up. Like it's just expanding and they're just like, oh no, we can't do this. We can take this. We can't take that. But I think it's an awesome industry. I think you nailed it to timing. I think you and Rhett are just living your best lives, working like 70 hours. It doesn't feel like it a week. We're trying. What? Okay, so let's go over everything. Handles. Let's go over websites, all that fun stuff.
Sure. Handles. Well, so our main company is Mission Lago Farms. Mm-hmm. Website is missionlagofarms.com. It's not Largo.
So creative.
A lot of people in Tampa
there's
Bay.
There's no here. R in there, you guys. L-A-G-O.
It's Mission Lago, mission with two S's. So that is our main farm in Oregon. Obviously, it's going to be a branch of our East Coast operation here with USF once we get to that point.
Still be called Mission Lago?
It'll be still Mission Lago Farm. It's actually Mission Lago Research Facility is what it is, which is pretty cool. And the Instagram handle for that is Mission Lago Farm CBD. My own personal one is Next, N-E-X-X-T, Nick, N-I-C-K. We have Natural Life Tampa Bay. Yep. So that's my CBD store on Kennedy, as well as the new one in downtown. It'll be naturallifetampabay.com or at Natural Life TPA. Instagram shut us down like 5 times, so I have to keep coming up with creative alterations.
Damn you, IG.
Alliterations of the title there, but hopefully this one lasts a little bit longer.
Really?
That's another thing. I mean, so Facebook and Instagram are not okay with CBD.
I didn't know that.
Okay. I've had my farm one shut down. I've had my store one shut down probably 4 or 5 times. My CBD line, actually, we didn't even talk about my CBD line.
I know.
So CBD Me is at CBD Me, M-I.
Which you'll find all this on Not a Great Whisperer and katieray.com. I'm a huge advocate of CBD Me.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, I'll be doing a workshop in January, but I love it. I think it's good to know somebody and trust somebody and trust somebody's product, because I love to educate people on it and have a product to back it up is, I think, super important. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to just know people are on the same mission to just helping people live their daily life, just quality of life, really.
No, there are a lot of extremely talented and knowledgeable people out there that are in this space that, you know, it's good to meet them and get latched onto them and follow what they're doing. But on the other hand, there's a lot of people who have no idea what they're doing and they're just out there trying to make a buck and
great industry to be in. Let me do this.
Pushing whatever they can to try and make a little profit. And there's, you know, unfortunately it's giving some of this industry a bad name, but those are the bad players that just make it a little bit more difficult when it comes to the regulations and laws and things like that. But yeah, no, we didn't talk about that. So second Saturday, we're doing a new series at the Natural Life Kennedy and Heim store. It'll be the second Saturday speaker series.
And every month,
Katie Ray will be there on January 11th, mm-hmm. talking about her experience in CBD, difference between full spectrum and isolate, where she started, where she is today, why she talks about it,
love it,
how the podcast started. So mm-hmm. we're going to have some drinks, hors d'oeuvres, some free samples of some different CBD products. So yeah, definitely come on by.
And that's important too, because people, CBD doesn't taste good. I mean, you can't ever just say like, just
CBD. Oh, with the right flavoring of CBD.
No, but exactly. So then if you find a flavor, vanilla almond, but if you find a good flavor for it, because I mean, it's not the greatest tasting thing. And some people are just so sensitive with that. And you're just like, it's good for you though. Just it's like your fucking vitamin.
It's your vitamin. I've never been a big smoker. So the full spectrum taste to me has never been something that mm-hmm. I was really excited about. And as crazy as it sounds, full spectrum products are our top sellers.
Yeah,
so
which should be.
It's flavoring is important. You know, we have a lot of different flavors. We have a lot of different carriers and different products. You know, the store is not just my line. I mean, we probably have, actually, I know exactly how many we have because we just did a full inventory for our new store. We have over 500 products in
our
store.
Which is really good to show people like
different brands.
You're an advocate of CBD. Yeah, there's going to be different things that work for different people. Correct. And you're not going to only say my line is going to work for you.
Correct. Yeah, no, it's, you know, there's different price points as well. You know, there's some brands that are out there that are made, you know, at an extremely low price that people are obviously very price cognizant. And then there's other ones that are extremely high in CBD content and milligrams. And people walk in and say, hey, I want the one with the highest CBD amount.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have over, like I said, over 500 products, I'd say easily 50 to 100 different brands. So obviously they're all made a little bit different and they're all focused on a little bit, different avenues. Some of them are made for sleep. Some of them are made for pain. Some of them are made for everyday life and, you know, in your morning coffee. Mm-hmm. So we have a little bit of everything we have. I'll be honest. When we opened this store, I didn't even realize there was this many products that CBD was in. I mean, we have bath bombs.
We oh, yeah, different ways have, of disp- – yeah, exactly.
Tinctures, obviously.
Yeah, edibles, the administering routes.
I mean, there's we have literally – we have inhalers. I mean, there's eye drops. Mm-hmm. We have everything. And as crazy as it sounds, there's a reason that those products are created. There's a certain person out there that needs that product.
Administer it this way. Reason.
Exactly. So,
isn't that cool though?
It's cool. No, it's cool.
Well, you're always learning now. You know, you haven't like tapped out. Maybe in your hospitality industry, like you were kind of like just going with the flow because you already knew everything. Mm-hmm. But right now you're learning every day and it's kind of exciting.
Every single day. Every single day. I always say when I'm on the farm, if I don't learn something today, there's an issue.
I hope everyone doesn't hear this and is like, I'm going to get in the CBD industry. You kind of have to have.
Well, this guy did. I mean,
this guy sounded like he just jumped from here.
No, it's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of, I mean, and obviously we're only telling the positive stories.
Yeah, of course. This. You know, I'm not or how you got
about,
through.
Yeah, I'm not telling you about all the days that we looked at each other. We're like, what the hell are we doing? You
know, did we do this?
How much money did we just spend on that? And it didn't work. And you know, there's a million, I mean, farming alone, we'll get into farming.
Yeah.
If you know a farmer or have ever been a farmer, mm-hmm. you know that nothing goes right on a farm. Everything breaks.
That's so cool to know working. That though now. It's
just
insane.
It's part of your everyday life and you have to adapt and you have to learn how to spin it into a positive or, you know, obviously, yep. Get around that issue and keep moving forward.
I think it's awesome. I love that. I think that you're back in Tampa. I hate to say we graduated. Gosh, shit.
We'll leave that alone.
Like 11 years ago. You'll just shut up now. But I love that you're back and I appreciate you being on the show. I think we should bring you and Rhett back for sure.
Thank you for having me.
Different little topics just about the industry of the life. But I'm glad this is your first podcast.
First podcast.
Yeah. And yep. Ebor with the roosters in the background living their best life. You got to love that. And we're at BK and Creative Studios. You'll find Nick on.
We started at Ebor. We're back in Ebor.
I know we are back in. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man. Ebor days in college. But that was only like 2 years ago. So Nick, you'll find him on the Not a Great Whisperer page. All of his businesses that he is running right now. CBD is definitely a growing industry, but get with people that are educated. Get with Nick's companies. Understand really what you're getting yourself into. Do not pick up something from a gas station. And not a great whisper podcast.
We have a ton of information on our website.
Oh, you really do. I know.
Tons of information.
And we're at BK and Creative Studios in Ebor. And Nick, thank you for joining.
Thank you. Woo! Yes.
We're out. I'm